Well, it definitely is an honor to be before you guys this morning just to share what the Lord has been teaching me. But I do need to give you a disclaimer. Jonathan is the kind of guy that could tell you that your cat got attacked by a python and you'd be like, okay, right? He just has a soft, gentle spirit where I'm like an ex-football coach and I'm like, let's go get that python. And so just have to warn you ahead of time that my style is slightly different than Jonathan's, but man, I'm just blessed by him and his friendship and his leadership for our church. But it is an honor to get to talk to you about what the Lord's been teaching me. And I have a friend on stage, Celeste Valdez, who we were, isn't there power in the spoken word? Anybody out there? This is power. Someone like Paul just speaks things with passion, just gets you excited about the Lord. And we were talking in our little poetry class about God's promises, and Celeste talked about this poem that she had written, and I thought it would be perfect for us to start the service with. So, Celeste?
I promise. Two words, a binding statement. You can't back out. You just can't back out. Yet, I find people backing out of promises like they back out of their driveway, fast and unconcerned for those who could get hurt. It doesn't seem to me or look to me like we as humans got this promise thing down. It's drowning. That statement, those two simple words are dying because we are unaware that a promise can truly be held as a child is held, cradled between the arms of his father who's saying, I'll never leave you. I'm not giving up on you. I love you. To be promised such a crazy thing as love, what? To be cherished and held by someone who is actually listening? Who is actually listening? Because I'm almost 100% sure that since we all live on this reckless earth, our hearts have felt abandoned more than once. That you could promise, and so could I, but what we claim to try is nothing compared to the surpassing richness, the fullness. He is aching to fill you. God is with you, promising that he will never leave you.
Praise the Lord, the power in the spoken word. Those two words, I promise, is such cheap words in our society today. And unfortunately, it's seeped in the church because I don't know about you, but man, I have promised the Lord things all the time. I've promised that I'm going to go on a diet. Hasn't worked, right? I've promised that I would do this and I promised that I would do that. But just like we back out of a driveway, we so often back out of our own commitments. Today, we want to be different. Today, we want to take a step forward. We want to step into a new level of our relationship with Christ. And we're going to do that through Psalm 105. Psalm 105 is a psalm written by David, just a powerful testimony of his own life, testimony of him as he, the Ark of the Covenant, came into Jerusalem, and he was excited. He was passionate. He was jumping before the Lord. He was dancing before the Lord. He was singing before the Lord. So much so that as he was singing, he just, these clothes are in the way. And he was just ripping his clothes off and he's taking his royal robe off. And he was just there in his linen ephod dancing before the Lord. And his wife was not excited about him being in the linen ephod. And so she let him know, David, you're embarrassing us. You are too crazy about this worship thing. You are way too crazy. And I have to be honest, I'm kind of glad none of you did a David this morning since my boss is gone and none of y'all shed any clothing, so that's good. But David just shed the clothing in excitement for the Lord. And when Michael, his wife, rebuked him, he said, I can become even more undignified than this. And he went out and he worshiped the Lord with reckless abandon. And then he sang this psalm, Psalm 105. Directly after that. And if you want references on that story, go to 1 Chronicles 16 or 2 Samuel chapter 6. And that's the story behind why this song has come about. And I don't think it's an accident. I think that David, as he's singing this song of thanksgiving, that in the back of his mind, he knows that we live Pac-Man kind of lives. Now, I know that David didn't know about Pac-Man back then, but does anybody know about Pac-Man? Anybody? Am I the only one old enough to know Pac-Man? Some of y'all youth have like downloaded the app, right? Old man video game app and like found it. Pac-Man, The whole goal of Pac-Man is to run around and get dots until you get lucky to get the big one and then you get to chomp everything, right? And isn't that a story of our life? We so often run around doing the things and every once in a while, boop, yeah, whoa, I can conquer the world. And we go out and then that kind of fades away. And then guess what? They come back and haunt us again. And we run around and we run around. Man, I want you to graduate to Mrs. Pac-Man today. All right? You know Mrs. Pac-Man, right? You got new levels, new mazes. You got a bow, right? Mrs. Pac-Man. In other words, I want you to take yourself to a new level. Because when I was back in the day, we actually had to have like the big console. We had to have a real thing, not like on our phone. I remember I had made a pattern. I had a perfect pattern. I could do it with my eyes closed. I can still do it, part of it, right? And I could beat the game without even looking. And unfortunately, that's how we live our Christian lives. We can live our Christian lives on autopilot, on the same pattern of our life that we do every day. Why I wake up every day and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and this is how I live my life. Today, I want you to take the next step. Because the surface level Christianity is not good enough anymore. We cannot withstand the pressure of the world against us if we have no power. It's just going to continue to push us and make us slide back to where we're ineffective as believers in Christ. We have to take the next step. And I think Psalm 105 is a view into the heart of a man who had the heart of God, who was passionate about his relationship with God. And so we look at it. Verse 1 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord with his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and his judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." And so we see a glimpse, and maybe it's the math teacher in me. I see this set of three that he continually takes throughout this psalm. We see three in the first verse, three in the second verse, and we see in verses 4 and 5, three kind of tones that he sets, these three levels of relationship that we can learn from. Because if you look at the very first one, he says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." So the first place that we are as believers in Christ is that we give thanks to Jesus. Most of you, if you came into this room today, you didn't think you were coming into Wendy's. You didn't think you were just coming in. Well, what? There's no food? No, you knew you were coming to church. You've heard of Jesus before. You know the name. You know something about him. But there's a difference between knowing about him and stepping into that relationship with him. To all of a sudden, there's a love and a respect. There's talking back and forth as you call upon the name of the Lord and you expect him to answer you back. But then there's another step to our walk, which is making known our love for him, making known his wondrous ways. For example, there's a difference between me knowing Tara Paulvogt and falling in love with her and making her my wife. But there's a difference when I wear the ring where everyone knows. There's a testimony that goes along with that. And is that the process that we as the bride of Christ go through in our daily relationship? Maybe I could put it to ground level analogy to you. Just because you have a water hose attached to the spigot at your house doesn't mean your car is clean. Right? I mean, it doesn't just do it itself. And guess what? If you turn on the water and come back over, your car still isn't clean until you pick it up and you push down the sprayer thing and you do something with it. Too often in our walk with Christ, we're satisfied looking like a Christian, looking useful. We're satisfied. And then occasionally, we'll eat the big dot, be on fire, and we'll be filled up. But guess what? Just because we're filled up doesn't mean that we're making a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that we're going forth and making disciples of all nations. You see, we have to take the next step in our relationship with Christ. Now, what does that look like? Well, I think we find the answer in this verse. We give thanks to the Lord. I mean, that's a great place to start, recognizing God's work in our life. But there's a next step. The next step is to see the glory of God in your life, is to find your calling and live in it. What is God calling you to be as a follower of Jesus Christ? How has he built you? How has he made you so that you can serve and you can be that tool used to help a world that's dying? I'll tell you how it happened in my life. I love youth. That's just where my heart is. Ever since I was a youth, I've always wanted to coach and teach and wanted to be involved in that culture of kids. I was a sophomore in high school when I came to know Jesus. And I came to know Jesus at a youth retreat because I had a friend who was just relentless in inviting me to church. His name was David Payton. And David had cancer as a freshman in high school. And his feet had turned in from the chemotherapy, and he went from being a very good basketball player to not a very good basketball player. I hope he doesn't listen to this online. He just wasn't very good. He was pretty much the last guy on the bench on my JV team, and I was the starting point guard. And I know I don't look like that anymore, but I was a little smaller back then. And so I was the starting point guard, and he was relentless, inviting me to church, inviting me to come hang out. And finally, I went with him a couple times, and it was good. And then he's like, all right, hey, we're going to go play basketball all weekend at this place. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, there's going to be cute girls there. I'm like, I'm there. I was excited. Like, basketball and cute people, that was awesome. And then Jesus showed up. How did that happen? I wasn't planning on that. I was like, basketball and girls. That was my plan. And yet Jesus, boom, reached in and changed the direction of my life. And God has kept me in that culture in that way because it's just been incredible. For example, when I was coaching football up at Hayes and I was coaching the seventh grade football game, and I remember walking off Bob Shelton Stadium, and there was a guy named Flay Strawn. He's like, hey, have you ever thought about working with youth? And I've stopped and I looked around and I coach seventh graders. Yes, yeah, I like working with youth. He's like, no, at our church. And I remember, and this is just the providence of the Lord, in college I lived with three youth ministers. I was the only one who wasn't a youth minister at that time. But I got to chaperone a lot of trips, and he's like, hey, you want to come work with our youth? And I'm like, okay. And so I went to their church, First Baptist Church in Kyle, and I went there and I started helping out with youth, and then they told me it was paid. I was like, whoa, that's cool. They moved me to Kyle. I get paid to go to Schlitterbahn. Is that not the greatest job ever? Like, that's awesome. I can't believe that. And so I'm there. And I was so excited because I was teaching school and I was coaching, and now I got a chance to work with youth. I mean, God just gave me joy in that season. And he still does today. I think that I'm going to be the oldest youth minister, like Methuselah and me, right? Oldest people work. I mean, I think at 80, I could probably still throw a frisbee, right? I don't know if I could dive or the walker will be fast enough, but I'm like, I think I could still do it. And I think the Lord has given me that call because I have to be honest with you. I don't want to be Jonathan. God has not built me that way. God has not built me to have the heart that Jonathan has. He's built me with this passion to like push people to be more and to be different. And that's how the Lord has built me, and that's the calling that God has given to my life. And if I had to do Jonathan's job full time, I would be exhausted because I would have to do it on my own strength and my own power. You see, you have to find out, how has God built you? What is the calling that God has for your life? Let me give you a clue on how to find that. When you look at your life, what are your affections drawn to? What are things that you enjoy? What are things that you like to do? Some of y'all are mothers out here, and you're awesome mothers. Do you love kids? Is that why God's called you to be a mom? Well, you don't have to just love on your kids. There's lots of kids. The kids are running around, and you're like, oh, I love them. I'm so cute. You have a calling to use that for the glory of God. Some of you in here, you have a passion for business. Like, you just have a mind that works that way. It just works, and you're like, oh, this makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. How could God use that gift in you, that passion in you, for his glory and his kingdom? Some of y'all are like, well, I don't like anything. I have no gifts, because God has equipped us to do his calling, right? God is going to equip you. Moms, God has equipped you with patience that dads, we don't have usually. God's going to equip you for that. You're like, I don't have any gifts. Well, I got an idea. Can you do this? Because we need help back there, Brian, right? Now, it's a little bit harder than that. I know I was giving him a hard time earlier. Like, do this. And then he messed up. What? All right, I'm just kidding. If you have any gifts at all, God can use you. Let me just get in your face for a second. God needs you to be more than you are right now. God wants you to be more than you are right now. He wants you to step up and answer the call to which he's called us heavenward. He wants us to be the people of God. He wants you to make an influence in this world, in your family. You know, one of the most neglected times of the week in Bible study is Sunday afternoon, because you checked it off in the morning. If God starts the ball rolling in the morning, why don't you just give that thing a shove and run with it? You see, Sunday afternoons need to be a time of resting in the Lord. We're learning that as a family. And it's been awesome to learn, but it's taken us 18 years to learn it. You see, we have to have a love for this book, or else we're just going to burn out. You see, if you try to do something that's outside of your calling, you're going to burn out. I had three keys to find into your calling. Number one, you can't force a calling on your life. You can't force a calling. You can't say, I want to be this, so Lord, answer me in that. Because you're going to get exhausted. Here's what it says, Psalms 115, 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. When God calls you to be something, it's not so that you can be great. It's so that he can be great through you. So you got to answer the call. Here's the second thing. Walking with Christ is hard. Can I be honest with you? I ain't got no amens on that one. Walking with Christ is hard. It is not easy. I'll give you an example. Man, God is doing some great things in our youth group. I'm so blessed. We have like 500 eighth grade boys, it feels like, running around. I know there's not that many, but it feels like all of them are here from the whole surrounding county. We have kids that are just doing amazing things for the Lord. I mean, you saw them up here playing in the praise band. Some of them are over there teaching classrooms right now. And we have amazing youth kids. They're awesome. But I have amazing youth helpers that praise the Lord. But they can tell you, I warned them before this year. I said, God is doing awesome things in our group, but be ready. Because when you go to the front lines, when you get into the spiritual battle, people get hurt. I said, Satan is going to attack us as a group. And I can tell you in the first 4 weeks, wow, we are in the front lines of the battle. There's been attack after attack upon our leaders because Satan thinks that if he can take us down, that these kids, they won't be on fire for Christ. But that's not the truth. The truth is Christ is bigger than us. And Christ is doing a great work in our church, in our youth, in our community, despite me and despite us sometimes. But we have to continue to walk. We have to continue to fight the fight. Paul understood this. He wrote this to the Philippians in Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Isn't that incredible? Not because I'm doing good work, because Christ made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You notice the language he used there? It's this idea of straining. He doesn't say walk in glory. He says work hard, strain towards the calling that God has given you. God has given each one of us in this room a calling, a part of the body of Christ to be. We need to be exercising that body. Dads, moms, kids at home, you need to be opening up your word, reading it together. You need to be active in the church, serving different things, active in the community, serving different things, because God has given each one of you a unique passion for Christ. And that's such a beautiful way that our church works. We have a homeless ministry in our church because someone has a heart for the homeless and they're like, we're going to go serve them whether y'all show up or not. Y'all want to show up? Yeah. And we go with them. We have a ministry to kids with special needs because we have people that have a passion for those kids and a love for those kids that transcends the love that most of us have for anyone. And we have that ministry because they have a passion for that. I'm like, well, we want to do this. Do y'all want to be a part of it? Yes. They have a calling and we join in and we join that calling. Look at the second thing. This is verse 2. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Do you see the progression? Do you see the levels? You see, we can sing or we can sing praises to him. There is tons of singing in our society today. You go to YouTube, you can watch any song anywhere, 12 million hits on this song or that song. There is music everywhere. In fact, if you think about your life, how much of our life are movie quotes or song lyrics? Have you thought about that? Like on the way out, I heard like 12 song lyrics and movie quotes. And some of them were doing it on purpose because they had listened to the sermon. They're going to give me quotes from Seinfeld and things like that. But how much of our life are song lyrics? In fact, at the end of the service, last service, I was like, we need to go out and tell the world about Jesus. And one of you is like, tell the world, tell them, mama, tell them everywhere. Because that's the song that we listen to and we've done sign language to before. Because in our minds are so connected to music. But there's more than just singing. We have to sing praises. For example, let's think about the songs that we sung today. And one of the songs, Amy did an amazing job of singing, where she was talking about looking upon the face of our Savior. And it was moved me so much because Amy's daughter's been in the hospital and been sick. And yet she can stand up and say, I long to look upon your face. I long to praise your name regardless of my circumstances. And thank you for that. Because, guys, if we want to see the glory of the Lord, we have to worship the Lord regardless of our circumstances. You see, our love can't be conditional based on how things are going. Our love for Jesus can't be based upon how good a week we had or how bad a week it has. It has to be solid in our soul that we're going to sing praises to him and tell of his wondrous works. Let's think about this song. We sang Oceans, right? You remember the bridge? Because we sing it lots of time. Let's look at it. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Think about that. Do we really mean that? Do you really want God to stretch you to the edge of how much you trust him? Like, that's a dangerous thing to sing. Because the Lord might say, do you really trust me with your kids? Do you really trust me with your job? Do you really trust me with your relationships? And we get to the edge of our trust, and he's like, do you have a border there, a wall there? Because I can knock that down for you, and we can walk together. You could be in my presence. Like, that's a dangerous thing to say, but we sang it, or did we sing it as a praise to him? Did we bring this request before the throne, or did we sing it because Jenny has a beautiful voice and she sang it? Do you see the difference? It's a difference in engaging in the activity of worship and praise. Let me walk upon the waters. Could we have been like Peter stepping out of the boat and walked as long as our gaze was straight on Christ? Or would we be distracted by the things of this world all around us, right? Wherever you would call me, well, as long as you call me to somewhere I like Romania. What if God called you Romania? But you know what? It's even scarier than that. What if God called you to your mom who doesn't love Jesus? Or to your brother or sister? Sometimes it's scarier to go inside of the walls of our own home to proclaim Jesus as Lord to our friends and our coworkers. What if God called us to go do that? Would we be willing? See, that's the difference between singing and singing praises and telling of his wondrous works. That's the difference between walking in power or just walking. That's the difference. Let's look down at verse 3, which I think is the theme statement of this psalm. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. I love that. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Not those who found the Lord, those who are seeking after him. I look up the definition of seek. It says, seeking is the conscious fixing or focusing of our mind and our heart's affections on something. So when you seek something, you do it with your mind and your heart upon some targeted item. So I could seek after a taco, which would probably be more my stomach and my mind, right, than that. But I could seek it out, and I could drive, and I could find it, and I'm going to find it, right? Or I could seek after something like the Lord, which means I have to fix my mind upon it, and I have to fix my heart upon it. And the Lord will let our hearts rejoice. How many of us in this room want that? That our hearts would be rejoicing. And what's incredible to me, I wrote down a few things that helped me to think about the glory of the Lord. For example, how many women went to the women's retreat this weekend? Anybody out there? All right, awesome. One of the things on the women's retreat is they went on a photo scavenger hunt, right? Which my wife's team dominated some of them in here. Whoop, whoop. All right, anyway, little props there. There's a moment where maybe you're on that scavenger hunt and you stop and you kind of look around and you go, man, I love these people. And there's just a genuine love that you have for the people that you're around. That's the glory of the Lord falling upon you, because it gives you a love that isn't natural and isn't normal. Or for example, it happened to me the other day. I was in my house, and I looked into one of my kids' eyes. I just had a love for her. Just had this love, just overwhelming love. Now, the laundry wasn't done. The clothes were off the floor. I think she has carpet in her room. I don't know that for sure. You do, right? Okay. But you know what? There was something when I looked in her eyes that just made me love her. That's not from me, because every circumstance around me says, you should get her to do this and get her to do that. But there was just something that fell over me that made me have such a love for her. That's the glory of God right before us. Or for my wife, she walks outside and she sees the clouds. She doesn't see a turtle, right? Or an elephant. She sees the glory of God. And I'll get a text, have you seen the clouds? Have you seen it? It's incredible out there. And I have to walk outside and go, wow. I mean, have you seen the canvas that God could paint? I heard he does it in the morning too, but at sunset, at night, I'm not a morning person, okay? But at sunset, when the colors light up the sky, is there a more beautiful thing in the world than that? Maybe the birth of a child, right? You see, do we see God in the beautiful things, and do we tell the rest of the world about it? In a world consumed with social media, why do I have to look at your breakfast taco? Why can't I look at the glory of God that you see in other people? We should be able to communicate and tell the world about the glory of God that is happening all around us. And guess what? If we can do that, our hearts will rejoice. And isn't that what we're seeking so often? It's for our hearts to feel the joy, to feel love, and it's found in the glory of the Lord. Let's look at this last verse, verses 4 and 5. It says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. So again, we start with this base level, which is good. Seeking the Lord and his strength, seeking the Lord for the things that are going on around us, asking for his strength is a good thing. But if we want to survive this world, we need the presence of the Lord continually. We need Christ to be with us. If you want to see the glory of God, seek the presence of the Lord. Seek his presence continually. But what's so sad is that if Jesus Christ was in human form and going to work with you or going to your house, how would your life be different? Like if Jesus really was a person going home with you today, would it change your day? Like when you went and met someone, would you introduce them to Jesus? This is Jesus. No, the real one, Jesus, right? This is him. Would you ask him questions? Would you talk to him, or would you turn on the game? Jesus, you should watch this thing called football. No, we would be like, so tell me about this like transfiguration thing. How'd that work? I'd be asking him questions about this and that. I might take him to my friend's house who was sick. Lord, I've heard these stories about you and how incredible you are. Could you do that? But you know what's scary? We would introduce Jesus when he was here, but when he's here, we won't tell our friends about him. When he's here in our hearts and in our lives and his Holy Spirit in our lives, we don't, for some reason, want to go tell people about him. You know why? Because he isn't as real to us. We, as believers in Christ, have Christ inside of us. We need to go and tell the world about Jesus. We have no excuse if we really have Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. Let's get out of that, Lord, can you help me with this? Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your presence fall on me. Be with me. Help me to walk as you want me to walk. That's our challenge. And here's my challenge to you this afternoon when you go home. This afternoon, just at some point, find 15 minutes for yourself, okay? Not like during a commercial break or halftime. I mean, like, actually set aside, I want 15 minutes, and I'm going to spend that by myself with you, Lord, today. And I have to be honest with you, I am the worst one at this. My wife tells me all the time, take time for yourself. No, I got to meet this person. I got to go talk to this person. I'm the worst, and I have to do that today. Myself, just like disappear for 15 minutes. But here's what I want you to do. During the first 15 minutes, during the first 5 minutes, put your headphones in and listen to your favorite worship song. Now, if you like Hillsong, the first 8 minutes, okay, or 9 minutes or 10 minutes. But I want you to listen to a praise song, your favorite song. And I'm a youth minister, so turn it up loud, okay? Turn it up to where you can't hear anything else and it's just you and the Lord. If you're not sure what to listen to, Give Me Faith by Elevation Band. Amazing song. It's one of the songs, Oceans, we sang tonight, today. Just something that just makes you melt away and focus on the Lord. And then for the next 10 minutes, all I want you to do is listen. Not hard homework. Listen to your heart. Listen to your mind. Where do your thoughts go? Where are your heart's affections stirred? And let the Lord speak to you about your calling. How does God want you to walk with him this next week? Where does he bring you joy? Where do the thoughts of your mind go to? And if you end up after that 15 minutes and you go, I don't like where my mind went, then give it to the Lord and say, Lord, change my thoughts and my affections. If your thoughts go all to TV shows or to radio or to to-do lists, give it to him. I mean, do you understand how radical this is? What if you took your schedule and instead of fitting everything you had to do in it, what if you put who God wanted you to be in it first? What if you said, well, I know God wants me to just bless people with food, and so I'm going to do that every Tuesday night. How would your life change if you were able to put God's stuff in first and all the to-dos after? I imagine that your life and your walk with Christ would be rich if we could do that. All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you, a people that need you and need your presence. And so, Lord, today I pray that you will speak to us. Teach us, Lord, where you want us to go, who you want us to be. Lord, teach us how to step into the next level, not to do the mundane, normal life that we do every week, but, Lord, to step out, that trust you without any strings attached. So we invite you to speak to us today and to teach us. Thank you, Lord, for David, your servant, and his passion for you. And I pray, Lord, that you will birth in us a passion for your word and a passion for the lost, that we can go into the world and tell them about you and tell them how incredible our God is because you have delivered us. Lord, you have paid the ultimate price on the cross. Thank you for that. Thank you for your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.